Welcome to the Next Level Podcast. This is a podcast that covers all things Ridgeview sports from Ridgeview High School in Columbia, South Carolina. Meet the student athletes, coaches, staff, and more that make View County truly next level. Ridgeview High School competes in the Region 5, 4A of the South Carolina High School League and has been serving the Northeast Columbia community since 1995, garnering 12 state championships and 13 state runner-ups during its existence. Learn more about our athletic department at RidgeviewSports.com and across all social media platforms at Ridgeview Sports. I am Coach Alyssa Burris, and today I feel like we are getting a very special episode today. You are getting all three hosts of the Next Level Podcast today.
Hey, let's go.
Yes. Go. So you have myself, Coach Alyssa Burris. We have...
What's going on, everybody? It's Coach Proctor.
And then we also have...
Brian Rosefield. I'm the athletic director here.
Like, what's going on, guys? This is awesome. The world. So I kind of just wanted to get us all together today. Y'all really haven't heard the three of us at the same time, except for during my episode where you got to know me as the head cheerleading coach. So if you want to know a little bit more about these gentlemen that are sitting down with me, they also have their own individualized episodes. Please take a listen during both season one and season two. So today, gentlemen, biggest thing that I want to talk about, especially sitting down with our athletic director here, is how to think like an athletic director. So before we get into that, Coach Rosefield, tell me what an athletic director is and what you do.
Wow. Okay. Need to pull up the full job description, but I think overall oversee all of the athletic programs, in this case here at Ridgeview High School. We have 14 sports. We have anywhere between 31 and 35 teams every year. So it's all the eligibility, overseeing all of the physicals, all the paperwork, birth certificates for all of those athletes. We're somewhere around 550 to 600 student athletes every year. Wow. That participate in at least one sport. A lot of them are doing multiple sports, which is we strongly encourage. We love that, seeing our kids doing things all year long. Obviously, the logistical stuff that, maybe most people don't know about, entering buses, requesting referees, working with security, making sure everything when fans show up to an athletic contest that the right people are there. And that's one of those things that it's kind of like a referee, really. If the AD is being noticed, something's wrong. It means the referees maybe didn't show up, or we didn't have security show up, or something like that. So a lot of behind the scenes stuff, a lot of the purchasing, the budgeting, And then, there's more. I feel like I'm on a game show, and there's more. Obviously working with first class coaches like y'all, hiring the best people that we can, training y'all once you get in here. Trying to get y'all moving, and like we are moving and all in the same direction, working with parents, working with students, working with teachers, staff, everybody. It's a robust job, but it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, I love that. So, speaking of like game show, you said we have 14 different sports here at Ridgeview, and I feel like it's you get a sport. How do you keep all 14 sports like organized in your brain?
Oh goodness. In my brain, I don't know if I really do, but I've done this job, I guess, long enough. This is year eight for me that I'm in somewhat of a rhythm and know what to expect. And here we are in May and knowing that the summer workout season is coming up. So I know that all of our sports will be on campus, and it's a little bit of a hectic time. So I know how to kind of compartmentalize that when I show up on summer mornings. It's like, okay, well, I know, I've grown in that area too, but logistically making sure I know exactly when what sports are doing what, but then flow into the fall, making sure things are done ahead of time for all of our fall sports that are going on and on to the winter, on in the springtime. So there is a little bit of a rhythm, but it took me a little bit of time. As Charlie Winsky at the high school league told me when I got this job, he said, Brian, your head's going to spin for about 2 years, and he was right. It's just like, what's coming next? And now somewhat know what's coming, but not always.
Yeah. So, Coach Proctor, you are currently in season.
Yes.
We have some important meets coming up.
Look here. Gotta get after it. Survive in advance. That's the name of the game tomorrow. Wow. Yeah. Coming up.
That's amazing.
At the time of recording this.
Right. At the time of recording this.
A little peek behind the curtain, the podcast curtain here. Sorry.
I know for me, and I just want to get your perspective also as a head coach, like, especially when it comes to contacting Coach Rosefield, I'm like, my sport. Like, do you ever give thought to any other sport that's not track and field?
Not at all. Why would I do such a thing?
CP.
No, look. You have to, and especially like Coach Rosefield stated earlier, when you're dealing with a lot of my athletes are multi-sport athletes. And so I'm constantly, you know, talking with Coach Howard, who is our head football coach, and Coach Staley, who is our head boys basketball coach. I'm in constant conversation with them because a lot of the times we're sharing athletes and just trying to make sure, you know, that we're handling workloads properly. And sometimes you got to plan around different type of schedules and things of that nature. So, you absolutely have to when you're as a head coach. You have to consider the other sports that's going on around you.
Yeah, so, I mean, I completely agree with that, especially being cheerleading. I mean, the biggest part of our job is to support other sports, football, basketball, and then with track, I didn't realize how possessive I was of my athletes until I had to share them. So, I think that's going to bring me into, like, of course we have to consider them, or we do consider them as head coaches, but, like, Coach Rosefield, what do you expect out of your head coaches in that regard? Do you expect us to work within each other and things like that? Or are you just kind of letting us free for all and lean on you for support?
Yeah, that's a great question. And you're such a good podcast host, by the way.
Thank you.
Much better than, well, the other
oh, look, I'm talking
right now.
I'm trash.
I think that it's something that at Ridgeview has always been the case that coaches work so well together. There are schools around this country that if a kid says, I want to play sport A, the coach of sport B says, no, you will not.
Yes.
And they say, you will only play my sport. And that has never been the case here. And that's something for me as a leader to monitor, make sure that's not happening. Because like I said earlier in the opener, I want kids playing multiple sports. Unless they're going to go and get paid immediately, get an NIL deal or something big time or whatever. Like, I want kids to get multiple experiences. I think I've got beliefs too. I think it's better for their body. But anyway, it's beside the point. I will always monitor that, but that has always been something here at Ridgeview long before me in my 17 years here that our coaches have worked together, and we have all continued to cultivate and create that culture of we want what's best for kids. We're all human. We have to put our egos aside, but for the most part, we put our egos aside. Y'all as coaches put your egos aside and say what's best for that kid. And y'all work together. It's a beautiful thing. And we bump heads. We've talked about that at CP on some of our episodes. Like, we bump heads. We're a family over here. So, yeah, we're going to have some discussions. But at the end of the day, y'all do such a great job of working together. And it's a really, really cool thing to experience and oversee. And we talk about our core values some of the time on this podcast, but one of them being unity. That's a picture of unity right there. We're all on the same page. And to watch you and your staff, Coach Burris, show up to a variety of, in this case, recently spring sporting events, saying, we're putting it on the calendar, we're coming to a girls' soccer game. And to see y'all come and support those kids was really cool, and that happens more and more. Mm-hmm. And you've really taken the lead on that to bolster this unity within our department. So for that, I appreciate it.
Thank you. Don't get me emotional on this podcast Coach.
That's your choice, Coach. That's your choice.
That's always the goal.
No, it is not. I am stern in that shell, and I'm holding on to it. So, Coach, you mentioned a couple points that I want to come back to. But to start off with, I know in Season 1, Episode 2, which was your episode that was interviewed by Coach Lee, you talked about what attracted you to becoming an AD. You just mentioned that you've been here at Ridgeview for 17 years. Which sports did you coach while you were here?
So I was a basketball coach by trade. Was a student manager and graduate assistant at University of South Carolina for men's basketball. Heck of an experience. Love traveling the country. Just first-class people. So that was always my dream. George Glimpf was my hero. Got a chance to work with him here. Legendary Eau Claire coach, NBA personal player to personal development. Unbelievable guy. Anyway, miss him dearly. But when I interviewed here at Ridgeview for the JV basketball job after finishing up grad school, Coach Gordon, he asked me, he said, hey, how do you feel about coaching a sport you don't know much about? And I said, well, I've done it before. My first job out of college, I'd coached volleyball. Never played a day of volleyball in my life. They needed a volleyball coach, so I stepped in and learned as much as I could. So anyway, I ended up coaching cross country. I did know a little bit about golf. I had played golf. We talked about that on a previous episode.
Yep. Hold on. He's gonna gloss over that part that he played. Coach was a state champion golfer.
Okay, great.
Yeah, great. Had to throw that out there. He was definitely going to gloss over that part.
Yes.
Put that on my resume.
Humble brag, Coach.
Right. Yeah, just a little bit.
So, but anyway, so I was coaching JV boys basketball, helping with varsity basketball, coaching cross country for those first 9 years, and then I coached golf for 3 years and then stepped in to coach track and field. So we've had a huge, huge upgrade from whatever those years were. I'm looking over at my photos right now, 2012, when I took over the boys track program, to Charles Proctor, now our track coach that actually knows about track and does a great job of coaching track. So
I appreciate that, Coach. Thank you.
Yeah, but a little bit of a multi-tool player, if you will, stepped in where I was needed, which, truthfully, coaching some revenue sports and non-revenue sports has been really helpful for me to make sure I'm, back to your question of keeping things kind of organized in my head, I know what it's like to coach track. I know what it's like to coach cross country and sports that maybe aren't as well attended, where the kids are just there because they really want to be there. That was a very valuable experience for me.
Yeah, absolutely. And I love that. And, you know, you and I have talked a lot, but one thing that you've said to me over the past 4 years that I've been here at Ridgeview now is, I don't know much about cheerleading, but whatever the conversation was. And as an aide, or excuse me, as a coach, hearing that from their AD, like, I don't know about what's going on in your sport, but here's my advice to shows really your coaching reservoir, excuse me. And it's appreciated. You are my first AD, and I don't know if whoever comes behind you can fill your footsteps. So I'm throwing that out there.
Well, thank you very much, Coach. I appreciate it.
Of course. You try to make me emotional, I'll do the same for you.
Okay. That's fair game. It's a podcast.
Is that what we're doing? Can I jump in?
Please.
Let's get the emotional roller coaster rolling. Let's go.
Now, especially considering, again, that we are in the spring sports season, there are so many different sports going on at this time. How are you able to spread your time throughout these sports? Especially, you know, there's been times we have soccer going on one field, baseball, softball, track. Y'all can't go while soccer's going on.
Right.
But, you know, y'all might be off-site somewhere else doing a track meet. So, right. Coach, how are you spreading that time throughout these different sports?
Not always very successfully, to be honest with you. And this spring is a good example of not being able to be everywhere at one time. Recently, it was our softball team was on the road in a playoff game. I made a commitment. I'm going to go to playoff games, road playoff games. I go to road games regular season from time to time when my time allows it and when my energy allows it. Mm-hmm. But I've made a commitment. I'm going to playoff games. And this year we've been so blessed and really successful, outwardly successful, to make playoffs in multiple sports. I missed our girls' soccer game where they played at Lucy Beckham on that. I believe it was a Tuesday night or Thursday night. I can't remember for sure because I was at softball over in Florence. That was a Thursday. That's right. Watching our softball team compete in the playoffs. And so it's, like I said, I'm more successful sometimes. This year, it's just been one of those things where it's been great. Our kids are making the playoffs, and I can't be everywhere at all times. And it's one of those things.
Coach Proctor.
Yes, ma'am.
Coach Rosefield just said a word that I wrote down, and I put some sparkles around it.
Okay.
Energy.
Oh, man. Okay.
So you obviously are a track and field coach. We just talked about that. We've talked about that a lot on this podcast. But tell me about, for one, how as a coach you keep your energy, mm-hmm. but also how you are keeping your kids motivated.
Oh, man. Let's go with the motivation part. Winning and personal success, for my sport is, I think, is the greatest motivator. You know, and we happen to be a pretty solid team this year who's had a little bit of success this year, and so I think the kids consistently chasing that. That the feeling of accomplishment, I think, has been one of the easier ways of keeping them motivated. Also, just their own personal PRs. You know, these are some pretty motivated kids. A lot of them are intrinsically motivated, which we spoke about on another episode earlier. You know, that's one of the great things that we have with some of our kids. They want to be good. A lot of them, I don't have to push that much because there's a lot that they want to accomplish that they just haven't yet. And so every single day, you know, they're looking for ways of how to get better. And it makes it easy for us as a staff to push them because they want it. As for me and my energy, I have to be very mindful of that because while you're in your season, you can just dive so much into it to where you neglect so many other parts of your life. And your energy can be one of them. You're just putting so much into the program, into the kids, and into the coaching staff that, you know, you're just not taking care of yourself. And so I have to make sure that, well, for one, Coach Year, the girls' head coach, and myself, we schedule meets in a way in which we have time built in to just decompress, even if it's just one weekend off to where we don't have a meets and we can just do things with our families and things like that, where we can just decompress. And so we make sure we build time in for that. But just also just reminding myself every day that it's bigger than track and field. You know, that's one thing that I had to grow in that aspect, that, you know, life just isn't about track and field. So I have to make sure that I'm doing other things that, you know, keeps me upbeat. Keeps
Coach
me level.
Remind me how many years you've been coaching and then how many years you've been a head coach.
Oh, man, I've been coaching now 14 years. I've been the head guy for 10,
okay,
I believe, yeah.
Now, Coach Rosefield, to hear one of your head coaches speak about, you know, making time and things like that and just how he treats his athletes but also his coaching staff at the end of the day, how does that make you feel, or just hearing that?
It's exciting to hear. And y'all know, because we talk about this a lot just as a staff, but what am I doing to take the best care of myself? What are y'all doing as coaches to take the best care of yourselves?
Yeah.
So that you can take care of yourself and be better for those around you. And I had a really good friend of mine tell me a few months ago, he said, man, you do a lot. And people like me, and just speaking for myself, not being selfish here, but just using my eye language, like y'all know I like to use, I do a lot. And when I'm not taking care of myself, not getting the rest that I need, not connecting with the people that I like to connect with, my family, my dog, my travel bug, all of this stuff that I like to do, then I'm going to be bleeding out kind of in a way, hypothetically, and I'm not going to show up for y'all the best way that I can. And therefore, I'm not going to show up for our kids. And, you know, that's part of life too. I think it's
oh, yeah.
CP and I have talked a lot about this on our podcast, like the demands of this job and the demands of y'all's jobs. There are a lot. There are a lot of demands. And It's like I learned back in grad school, yeah, I may be tired, but I need to answer that bell. Like, I may have had a late night, travel, whatever, but I've got to get back up. Back in those days, it was getting up early to make sure our guys were going to class. That was hard. We'd get back at 2, 3 in the morning and waking up and make sure our guys were going to an 8 o'clock class. It was hard for them. It's hard for me. But I was cutting my teeth on that answer the bell-ness that I needed, but also being able to balance that tension of what I'm hearing in CP's answer is like, yeah, it's a busy job, but I need to be able to do the things that I want to do as well while I do the things that I want to do here so that I can do them better and be better serve those around me.
Yep.
I love all of that. And even I've heard us have conversations that are very similar to what we just said, and I'm sure that all of the head coaches that are here have had similar conversations.
Oh, yeah.
I get tunnel vision occasionally where I'm just like, okay, me and Rose talked about da 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 da, and then I'm like, oh, wait, he probably had the same conversation with somebody else based on a different situation that was very similar. And you've said to at least myself, which, again, I'm going to assume, knowing the person that you are, that you've had these conversations also, is you've let us kind of figure out our own answer first and then give us the AD answer.
His famous line to all of us, put your AD hat on.
Yes.
Put your AD hat on.
So to even hear, like, it goes back to the very first point is how to think like an AD. Yeah. For one, you push all your head coaches to do so.
Yeah.
To say, okay, well, from an AD's perspective, I've heard that countless amount of times. From an AD's perspective, this is how such and such would look. And it just, you're very thought-provoking. And I hope our listeners can hear that thought-provokingness that yes. you bring out of the rest of us. So if you could give, I'm going to say one sentence, piece of advice for somebody who wants to become an AD, what would that be?
If I only have one sentence, and I'm not counting this part as the one sentence, it's going to be a long run-on sentence, but if I only have one sentence, it's honestly, coach and coaches, it's the bit of advice that I got from Millie McLaughlin, who was my first, she was a headmaster at Calhoun Academy, my first job out of college. And she had just met me, but she could tell, like, I was a hard worker. I was going to come in and answer the bell constantly. But she told me, she said, Brian, be true to yourself. To that own self, be true. I think she quoted Shakespeare, to be honest with you. But just be true to yourself. And so if I only have one sentence, that's what it would be. Be true to who you are.
True to who you are. So, Coach Partner.
Yep.
Well, for one, I'm just going to run off y'all's resumes one more time. Coach Rosefield, you have 17 years here at Ridgeview, 8 as an athletic director. Coach Partner, you have 14 years of coaching experience, 10 as a head coach. Mm-hmm. Myself, this is year 4, year 2 as a head coach. So
gotcha.
The amount of knowledge that I can learn from y'all, but also our listeners, is amazing. It's truly amazing. So same-ish question for you.
Okay.
For somebody who is just getting started in their career, be it assistant, head coach, whatever, give me one sentence piece of advice.
Oh, man, assistant and head. Okay.
And or.
Yeah, well, you just messed me up with that one. You did say ish, and I was not prepared for the ish. Wow. Trust the knowledge that you have. Yeah, this is going to be a terrible run-on sentence. I've got a lot of commas in here.
Semicolons.
Yeah, there we go. See, look, I wasn't that great in English. trust the knowledge that you don't have. Do not be afraid to learn the knowledge that you don't know.
Ooh, can you say that one more time?
Trust the knowledge that you have. Mm-hmm. Do not be afraid to learn what you don't know.
That's a powerful sentence, Coach.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to leave it there.
Yeah, no, that's a powerful sentence.
I had another one. I'm going to leave it there.
That is, woo. Okay, yeah. Y'all doing something to me on this podcast today, and I'm not sure I'm a fan of it. You know, all this thought-provokingness, it's killing me.
Hey, look, we have been conditioned to put our AD hat on, so that's what happens.
That's what happens behind the microphone in the podcast studios now. Come on.
So just to kind of wrap it up, we mentioned a lot, prior episodes, but, If you have not taken a listen to, and this is your first episode of the Next Level Podcast, we really, really, really encourage you to take a listen to as far back as season one, episode one. There's so much knowledge that you get from myself, Coach Rosefield, and Coach Proctor, as well as Coach Lee, from the time that he was here, as well as speaking with some of our student athletes, the intellectual conversations we've had with each other. There's a lot of great things that are happening here at Ridgeview High School, and it starts in this room.
Look, View County is, I tell people all the time, if you come into a coaches meeting slash circle at View County, this is like a Pixar think tank here. It's a wealth of knowledge, and it's shared because the unity is so amazing here. And so, yeah, man, it's a special place, bro.
Yeah, it is a special place.
It really is. And like we talk a lot. Obviously, we're on the Next Level Podcast here, but I think the specialness has always been here. And again, we're all co-creating, keeping it moving forward, but having that next level, the growth of our student athletes, which is now extended to the growth of us as coaches and administrators, we're all just learning and growing all the time.
Yep.
And so this specialness just keeps getting bigger and better and juicier and more, just more. It's a really neat, just to echo what you're saying, CP. It's a special place. And super thankful to be able to be here.
Likewise. And I'm going to speak for our entire athletic department. Thank you, Coach Rosefield, for everything you do for us.
Most definitely.
We are so appreciative of you and, you know, the best AD in the business, in my opinion. You can quote me on that.
View County, baby.
Y'all are the best.
View County. Thank you.